Hey Ryan, how's it going?
How's it going, Andrew?
Welcome back. Nice to see
Thanks,
you again.
Thanks, man. I'm glad to be back. This is awesome.
What have you been up to?
Well, I've been working a whole ton, because that's what we do. And
really?
I'm just enjoying my 2 days off.
Do we really work?
I think it's... No. We don't work as much as the average person, so that's a benefit. But the fact that we can't get too comfortable because we think we're going to get a call... Could have some added stress.
That's true. Yeah, we did. Last shift was terrible. We moved around a lot and we're not in county for half of it.
It was terrible. We had a trauma alert and we had a refusal, and then we went to an interfacility transfer to another county, and that took a long time. We actually only had 4 calls, but in 12 hours, it felt like it was all shift long.
Well, I think we only sat at the station for an hour.
That's true. And that's part of EMS. You never know what your day is going to be like. If you work a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday, you kind of know what you're going to do. In our profession, we never know what we're going to get, what calls we're going to have. You know, man, it's just,
it's one of those things. Great. It's great. Love it.
I know.
And it's always different. That's why, you know, it's always different, so it's fun. You never know. Because I don't think we've had no calls, but we've had maybe one time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've not had a no hitter.
No.
Since I've several mm-hmm. years.
Never had a no hitter.
Yeah. You never had a no hitter?
No hitter means just no calls in your shift.
Yeah, it's like a thing you strive for.
Because no calls is a good thing. Not only we get to rest, but that means nobody's dying. So.
That's true, and it's usually the whole county that's slow. It's not just mm-hmm. our area, because we actually work in a very busy area. Mm-hmm. So if the county's busy, we're definitely busy, because if we're not running calls in our zone, we're moving to another zone.
Yeah,
it's all part of the business. So yeah, it's been busy. But especially the coronavirus, you know, calls slowed down a lot during the peak of that, but now that people are starting to leave their house again because they're just tired of being, you know, in their house, our call load has gone way up.
Maybe
a lot of traffic accidents.
Yeah, we've had had quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Yeah, we had a lot of fires too. We had
a lot of structure fires.
Two or three last
mm-hmm.
shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were on one of them.
Yeah. And that's something that you'll learn real quick, is that we respond to structure fires, not just the fire department. And we are there the whole time because we have to either take care of the people that were in the house or make sure they're okay, and also take care of the firefighters on scene, because they go inside and all that, and their heart rates increase and all that, and they can only be in there for so long, and we have to check their vitals. So yeah,
not,
part of the business.
Yeah, no, but not only the people, you know, not only the residents of the house and the firemen, but also animals. I helped save a cat that came out of that house.
That cat was not happy.
That cat was pissed. That cat wanted nothing to do with us.
Yeah, so it's cool. Yeah, it's always the animals that are usually the issue, you know, because people run out of the house and they forget their animals, and then they're stuck in there, and the fire department ends up having to save them.
Yeah, somebody, my partner, Ryan, didn't take a picture of me saving the cat.
And Andrew's all about the glory, you know.
It's about...
You know, he's trying to show off, and that's the problem in this field. We've got a lot of show-offs, okay? You need to be under the radar. It's just like the Navy SEALs. You know, do they need recognition for going and killing Osama bin Laden? No. You know, they can't go and exploit themselves, and that should be the same as EMS.
Here's the difference.
Oh, there's a difference?
Everybody already knows about the Navy SEALs. Not everybody knows about EMS, so we need good public publicity. We need it out there, so people want to be like, oh, I can go save animals, not just being a vet, but I can be saving animals as an EMT.
Yes, so we save humans and animals.
So we're better than vets, really.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, we are vets. We are... We are street vets.
Spoken of the words of the paramedic, let that be shown.
I mean, sometimes we hit the animals in the truck. That is not our problem.
I've done that once, okay?
One confirmed kill.
what?
Yeah.
It was not a household pet. It might have been a wild animal.
I think I hit a bald eagle. That probably will give me some jail time if they found out. But, because it's our national symbol. But, those birds are flying in at night. Owls are everywhere. We scare the crap out of you.
We almost hit two owls once the other night, and then like a week ago. The one a week ago scared the crap out of you. That was...
Because we work nights.
That was hilarious.
They scare us.
I really would. We need a camera.
We do need a camera. We are trying to make this a bigger thing, guys. We are trying to go global with this. We are trying to go on YouTube, different platforms. We want to be able to, you guys, to kind of be with us through the ride. And we want to be able to connect with you guys during our podcast, too. So we can answer questions during and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to get big. It's going to get freaking big. So huge.
And with all that being said, we're going to talk about situational awareness. And for me, that's probably one of the most important things of our job. Because obviously without us, we can't help patients. We can't help family members. So we need to keep our safety, you know, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Obviously, situational awareness works outside of our what we do for a living, but it's more imperative that, especially working in public safety as a police officer, working in EMS, situational awareness, because we respond all over. We go to people's homes. We don't know these people. We don't know if they're sane, insane. I mean, most people are sane, but you know, we don't know if they have weapons in their house. We don't know if there's bad dogs in the yard or in the house. We have to, like, when we show up on scene, we have to take a look at our whole surroundings, and that's kind of like just something we're taught to do, so it's second nature. You know, we don't have to tell ourselves to do that every time, but if I roll up on a scene, I'm looking to see, you know, if there's people outside, I'm looking to see my neighborhood, because I don't want to be, you know, caught, or,
yeah,
you know,
caught, run up on something.
Run up on or something like that, because right now, especially, you know, with everything's going on, you've got to be careful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's very important. We walk in people's homes. We do not know them. We don't know what's in their houses. There's people that are not completely with it. They might have dementia. They might have PTSD. They might have like certain conditions where they get set off real easily, and they might not know what they're doing at the time. So you kind of have to protect yourself. So it's a lot of feel. Most people, it's okay. You can just tell right away, this is going to be all right. We're not going to have any issues here. But there's our times where Andrew and I looked at each other and said, I don't feel right about this. It was like a call last night. We were looking at ourselves like, oh, I have a bad feeling about this. It turned out to be okay once we went in there. But we had Sheriff's Department coming. You know, anytime there's a red flag, if there's a history of maybe violence or any issues with the patient or people that live at that house, the Sheriff's Department always responds. And depending on the notes we get, they might be first in. We might stage somewhere else until the police department gets in there and they clear us on scene. Yep. Especially if there's a shooting and somebody's being shot and they're sitting there laying there dying, yes, we want to run in there and we want to save them, but where's the suspect? Where's the guy with the gun? If they don't capture him and they don't know where he's at, I am not going to put myself in jeopardy to save this person. Because our number one safety, number one goal is for us to go home at night. And it's our safety first before anybody else's.
Yeah. You also have to look at the system you work in. You know, Ryan and I, we work in a system where we don't have the fire department backup on every call. You know, there's, you know, what, 85% of the time, maybe 90% of the time, it's just us two on scene. And if something goes bad, you know, we need the sheriff's office to come. And a lot of the times, they're slow to get to us, you know, or they don't have deputies available. You know, we've heard that over the radio a couple times. So your safety is number one priority when you get on scene. And it's, you know, I've said this before, it's not only your safety, but it's also your partner's safety. You're a team. You have to work as a team. You both want to go home at the end of your shift, and you want to have a safe shift. So, like Ryan was saying, you take the call notes into account. You take the neighborhood into account. And you know, we go to a lot of houses that we frequent all the time. but they're never the same. You can always have a distraught family member on scene, and a lot of the times family members don't know what we're doing. They're not skilled in any medical care. So when we start grabbing and putting stuff onto the patient, they get concerned, as they should, because it's a loved one. So you never know. It's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Andrew's saying is true. You know, I don't think I was with Andrew on this call, but we rode up on scene to a diabetic, and everything was normal. You know, the lady came out of the house and we were talking to her, and then all of a sudden a family member pulls up and he is screaming at us, cussing at us, telling us to get out of his way, that we're blocking his driveway and all this. And he was being very verbally combative. And I immediately called for the sheriff's department, emergent, because, you know, I'm not gonna put my safety in jeopardy or my partner's. And I started backing away. And if that happens, you leave your patient. You go to your truck if you can make it. If you need to protect yourself, you protect yourself and try to get away from the situation. And, but like you were saying, like the sheriff's department, you know, you call them, you know, and I got in our truck and we waited 10, 15 minutes. The sheriff's department still did not show up. Mm-hmm. So it's not like when you call the sheriff's department, especially like when you call 911 and ask for a police officer to get here because someone's robbing your house, they're not going to be there in 30 seconds. That's just not reality. Right. And we're the ambulance and we think we have priority, you know, that if our safety is in jeopardy, the sheriff's department is going to show up right away. And it's not always the case. And then after time, you know, the guy tried to argue with us again. At time, we drove off and said, well, the scene is not safe and we're leaving. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. Like Andrew was saying, it's like your safety is number one. Your partner's safety is number two. And then you go from there. But, you know, our job is too high risk. And, you know, we have to take that into account. And I want to go home every night. I have kids. Andrew wants to have kids someday. A bunch of kids. Like 10 kids.
Relax.
Okay.
Relax.
20 kids.
Okay.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. 20 kids. And yeah, situational awareness is just something you're going to learn in school. If you're not already an EMT or a paramedic, I mean, I'm sure you did some training on it, and they probably just drill it in your head, but you need to, you know, keep your guard. Yeah. You know, you need to, it could be a simple call and you think everything is wonderful. There was a county I used to work for, a sheriff's officer just responded to a well-being check, which happens a lot. Family members call and say, can you check on my loved one because they haven't talked to me in a few days or whatever. That sheriff answered the door, or the person answered the door and shot the sheriff with a shotgun and killed him instantly. So, I mean, that doesn't happen on the regular basis, especially in smaller towns. I'm sure in big cities, it's even more higher risk. I mean, some EMS professionals now are wearing bulletproof vests, mm-hmm. and guns, because it's just the way of the world now. It's just for safety purposes, unfortunately. But yeah. So you just need to be aware of your surroundings. I don't want to like freak you out and not get into this job. It's actually a wonderful job, good career, and you're gonna have a lot of great moments. And you're gonna, most people, 95% of the people you're gonna meet are normal. And it's a simple go in, take care of their loved one, get them to the hospital, or do whatever you need to do. But there's a little bit of everybody out there.
Yep.
And you don't know what you're gonna get. So you hopefully will get that red flag before you show up on scene so things could be in place ahead of time. But mm-hmm. if you don't feel comfortable on scene, something's not right, doesn't feel right, get out of there.
Yep.
And tell them, sheriff's department come, wait on sheriff's department to clear the scene until you have some kind of, you know, safety there, safety net, you know, so they can take care of something. If something happens, they have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, you go on scene, you even go on safe scenes, you know, where, you know, everybody, they just want your help, right? And the family is very cooperative. It's safe and you feel safe, but you're always going to be outnumbered. So, you know, you always want numbers in your favor. So that's where the sheriff's department comes in. But, you know, in our county, there's a lot of times where it takes a while because we're still a pretty rural county. And, you know, just like EMS all over the world, police and sheriff's departments they're not staffed at their full capacity either. So they run out of deputies or police officers to come help us, just like we run out of ambulances or fire crews to go help the public. So, you know, it's always going to be a lose-lose, but if the scene is not safe, you got to protect yourself, protect your partner, and get out of there if you're able to. Because, you know, we don't train like a police officer does to defend ourselves. So, you know, if at all possible, just leave. It's easier for you. It's easier for your partner. You just get out of there, let it de-escalate, and then you can go back in when it's safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, it's just important, you know, just, you know, your safety is number one, and that's kind of what we explained, and you know, this is a good career, great career to be in, so I don't want to, like, scare you and think that, you know, it's going to, you know, you worry every single day, but, yeah, you just have to keep, just keep an eye on everything out there, and just be aware of your surroundings, and, you know, if you have a perception, and just your feeling, your gut feeling, too. And, you know, if you feel a certain way, tell your partner how you feel. You guys need to be on the same page. You communicate. You work together all the time. So it's important to kind of tell each other how you're feeling and then come up with a solution.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, you know your partner, you know, better than anybody else. You know, you might even know them better than their spouse because you spend 12, 24 hours, whatever it is, at a time with them. And you're less than 6 feet away with them in an ambulance. So you get to learn how they work, how their mind works. You know, Ryan and I talk to each other all the time on calls, whether that be regarding having the fire department go with us, having the sheriff's department go, or, you know, having an extra ambulance go. So you just on the way to the call, discuss it, you know, how you're feeling, what you think's gonna happen, and kind of just give yourself a little game plan of what's going to go on. Like Ryan said, we had one the other shift. It was a guy who was having a PTSD attack. And the call notes were saying it was from a war he was in. And they've been out to his house multiple times for a various number of threats. So, you know, Brian and I decided to go in. But we also had the sheriff's department on the way. And you can always cancel the sheriff's department if you beat them there first, or vice versa. The sheriff's department can cancel you. So you're not hurting anybody by asking. And it's all about safety. This job is all about safety. But you also can't be afraid. You have to be smart about, you know, situations and your feelings. Because if your gut's telling you don't go in, don't go in. Never sway away from your gut decision.
Yeah, or ask the patient to come out. Mm-hmm. If they're able to ambulate, like, can you please come to my stretcher, or have dispatch contact them because they have a number to whoever called 911 and said, listen, you know, could they come out? You know, and dogs are a big issue. Yep. We have. And you don't know. Some of them look friendly and they're mean. Some look mean and are friendly. You just never know what you're going to get. So you have to be very cautious when there's dogs. You know, a lot of pit bulls and dogs like that have a bad reputation. You know, you need to just ask them. You ask the family, could you please put the dog in another room, or put him on a leash or whatever, to increase your safety standards there, so you can take care of the patient. You don't want to just take risks like that. You know, we our safety is number one. And I'm not gonna jeopardize my safety, you know, for something, you know, because really, like you said, 89% of the calls we run are not emergencies. Mm-hmm. Probably about 80% are not emergencies. So,
yeah, you know, it's just, you know, like, as an EMT, you know, I'm usually the first one through the door. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
But, you know, I pull the stretcher out, so I'm already at the foot of the stretcher, and yeah, we wheel the stretcher in foot first. So, you know, you open the door, you do a quick scan, you know, be like, hey, what's going on? Usually there's a family member there to greet you, but you do a quick scan, see if, you know, there's anything that looks suspicious. We're in Florida. There's a lot of people here that have firearms just leaning up in corners of rooms. And, you know, you just note that, make sure nobody goes near it. But, you know, when we get to the patient, if Ryan's doing his assessment, if he's up in, you know, up in the patient's space doing his thing, I'm stepped back a couple steps. So if anything does happen, Ryan can still get up and he's got access to different areas of the room, even the exit. But you got your partner's back. So I'm still looking around while still handing Ryan equipment or whatever, just still looking around, making sure everything's still safe. And, you know, like Ryan said, you know, 89-90% of the time, you're fine. Nothing's going to happen. So it is what it is.
Right.
You just got to be safe. That's all there is to it. I mean, the biggest thing, I'm sure Ryan still remembers it, EMT school, the first day, it's scene safety BSI. So you say that every time you enter the room for practicals while you're in school, and even in the real world, you say it in your mind to yourself. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll definitely be drilled in your head in school, scene safety BSI, because that's number one. So I think we got some good information for you guys today about situational awareness, and we'll definitely have some more topics we'll go over
at a later date. It's fun. We got a lot of fun things planned. You know, like Ryan said, we would love to be so much more interactive than we are right now. We're still new. I'm not tech savvy at all, even though I'm young.
He's not.
Ryan's older than dirt, and he doesn't know anything.
Yeah, typewriters, where it's at.
Yeah, but I would, you know, like Ryan said, I would love to get on YouTube. I'd love to hear more questions. Hopefully we can get some sort of live going eventually where we can answer the questions straight away on camera. But if you have any questions at all, we're active on Instagram at EMT_life_podcast. Just shoot over any question you have. We always answer. It might take me some time to answer, but it always will get answered. So just please be patient. I ask for your patience. Ryan's doing some weird things. I think he's over it now. So,
woo!
With all that, I wish everyone has a great week and a good weekend.
Word of the day.
And God bless.